This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your presence already here. Thank you for the great work that you have begun to do. Thank you for Spirit Life Reign. Thank you because I know that you have begun to speak to your people. We give you thanks, Lord. Lord, you are so merciful upon us. You always speak to us. You always reveal yourself to us. And so, Lord, we are grateful. We are thanking you for what you have begun to do in our midst, the great work that you have begun to do in our souls. We are thanking you. We are thanking you for riches of your glory, your blessings that are coming to us. Lord, we have done nothing to experience this great visitations from you. It's just you just wanting to reveal yourself to us. Lord, we are nothing but beneficiaries of your mercy. And we are so grateful, God. We are grateful, God. We don't take you for granted. We are grateful. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness, opening our eyes into the promises of glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the thanks. Thank you because we know that we are changing. Hallelujah. You are changing us. Your work is getting evident in our midst. Your appearing is getting more visible in our midst. We know that you'll come to us and you'll still come. And so, Father, I acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, Son of God. I acknowledge you this morning. I receive of your blessings, your grace. Help me with grace. Pour grace upon my lips. Help me speak as a proficient minister of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Help me minister the Spirit. Bring blessing to your people. Bringing blessing to your people. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's see 1 John chapter 5, the first epistle of John. I will try to describe the architecture of this epistle. It's important that we understand the age of different kind of epistles. Apostles don't just write, they write seasons, in seasons. So the epistle of John was written to churches that were already in the ascension of the heavenly life. There were churches in the ascension of the heavenly life. Or we can say there were churches in the dominion of God, or the Father and the Son. There were churches in the dominion. So John wrote the epistle to bring all of that church into fullness. Chapter 1, verse 4. These things write I unto you. So these things write we unto you. So John was in the fellowship of the Father and the Son as a witness. So by the time he was writing this epistle, he was already a witness. You could see him say we. He was referring to him being a representative in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. It says, that which we have seen and heard. That which we have seen. So to see here is not to see in a vision or a prophetic experience. We thank God for that. This is to come into an understanding. So sight here is a product of an understanding that this apostle had concerning things of the beginning. Things of the beginning. Not too many. I believe that God put John further in the flesh to unveil the the fullness of the revelation of Jesus. Most of the apostles, Peter, Paul, taught the revelations of God. They brought understanding not just of Christ. Majorly, they stood more in the domain of the living God. They taught the Father, but they taught majorly in the domain of the living God. Everlasting life, but in the domain of the living God. But one of the apostles that went further was John. John was able to trap the conclusion of the matter. So he was able to bring revelation of the true light. He was able to bring perfection to the appearing of the Son. The Son had begun to appear to them to give them everlasting life. But there is a climax or a conclusion of that life in the revelation of him that is true. Now, without the revelation of him that is true, you will not be a full witness of the Father and his Son. So it's important that the revelation of the Son of God is complete in us, in making us true. When I say you are true, you are ebanon, complete. You can't be changed. You have come into the full description of the life that is in the Father and the Son. So he said the things that we have seen. So he saw things of the beginning. So there's a spectrum of the beginning. The beginning there representing the incorruptible life of God. All right? We have beginnings in dimensions. We have eternal life, which was life in the Godhead. Then we have everlasting life. Everlasting life is also eternal, but is the beginning of eternal life. At times, these apostles use them interchangeably. You need to be able to dissect when they are using everlasting as eternal. Everlasting is also beginning of eternal. But we understand that the eternal God condescended into an everlasting domain to begin creation. All right? So even the everlasting life of God is older than creation. So it's also the life from the beginning. So there are beginnings in God. God is a God of many beginnings. John had sight, he had apostolic sight into the beginning. All right? He had insight into the Godhead. These were men that knew the Godhead. If Moses could know Godhead, then the apostles knew it. Moses told us, he says, the eternal God is your refuge. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Beneath him are his everlasting arms. So these apostles, they went deeper into the revelation of the Godhead that is eternal life, raw eternal life, which is the estate God wants to bring his Son. That is the promise of the appearing of the Son of God to bring us to partake of the promise of eternal life. So eternal life is an attainable promise for man. Eternal life is the quality of life in the Godhead. There are three that bear witness in this dimension. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Now when we say Father, I would like to use the word God. Alright? Even though we know that he's the Father. But fatherhood came because there had to be a Son. The three were co-equal. They were co-eternal. So it's God, Word, Spirit. Eternal God, eternal Word, eternal Holy Ghost. Three, that existed in a dominion that is higher than time, that cannot be described by space. These three had existed in a dimension of life before creation. Now, for God to share his estate with man, God had to introduce himself to creation. By that, all the three had to condescend into their everlasting form. All of them have everlasting form. So if there's eternal God, eternal Word, eternal Spirit, there can be an everlasting Father. The Bible refers everlasting God. They call him God. Everlasting God in the Old Testament. It says the Creator. So the everlasting God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's a Creator. God has many faces. Don't be strange. Amen. Someone said that. Why are you always confusing people? I said, you need to understand that God has faces. He has dimensions. As I am now, I'm many things to many people. All right? I'm people's pastor. I'm an husband to one wife. I'm a father to children. Biologically, I'm a father to many spiritual children. All right? At times, I function as a business consultant. So, I have many faces. So, it's not strange to say God has many faces. God has estates in himself, dimensions in himself. So, the everlasting God was the one that brought forth creation. Now, the life in that everlasting God is older than creation. It's also called beginning. It's everlasting life. The things that we have seen and heard, all right, we declare unto you. So John was a witness of the fellowship of the Father and the Son. He was a witness of things pertaining to God. Things pertaining to the fellowship of the Father and the Son. You know, there are things that you don't have the sovereign autonomy to declare except you have seen them. The Lord told me, he said, there are certain things you cannot declare. Declaring is not just preaching. When you declare, it's because you have authority in a realm to say things. At times you can see things that you cannot say, meaning you cannot declare it because you have not been approved as a witness. So you can't declare them. You will see them. You can't say it because you have not been given autonomy to say it. So this is not an ordinary epistle. This is a witness already. He's a witness already. He was witnessing and declaring that you might want our fellowship with us. So it means John was already a witness in the fellowship of what? The Father and the Son. Meaning the things that pertains to that fellowship are things that we want to talk about. They are the things that raise sons begotten of the Father. We know that our Lord Jesus is the first begotten. Jesus was begotten of the Father. Jesus was also begotten by the only true God. So Jesus is not just a son of the everlasting Father. Jesus is also a son of the only true God. It says that you may have fellowship with us. So I like the word us. All right? So your fellowship is a product of things. All right? That you can't be in a fellowship without things of that fellowship. All right? So, our secrets of that fellowship. It says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. So, meaning that John was already a custodian of things of the Father and his Son. And these things, what? Write we unto you that your joy may be full. So, these churches were not yet in what? Full joy. Things of the Father and the Son to arrive at full joy. Or when I say full joy, another word is full bath. Because even the dominion of the Father, there are seasons of bath. You are not born once. There is a bath of the Son of God that is living. And there's also a bath of the Son of God that is what? True. So even in the world of the living Son of God, there are many seasons of bath. We are not bath once. All right, so 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. He didn't say has come. Is come. So this is the current appearing of the Son of God to that church. It's a present appearing. Now, and he has come with an understanding or light. All right? He has come to give understanding. And he had given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. This is a specific understanding. Now, in the appearing of the Son of God, understanding is what? Specific. Understanding is not understanding. When you enter into the world of understanding, there are many, many, many understanding. So, but this understanding was to particularly bring to a people that had once had a measure of understanding or commandment of the Father. Yes, they were holding commandments. All right? 1 John 2. Okay, these things I write unto you that you sin not. All right? So, the full spectrum of the light of the beginning is to come into two things. You will come into sinlessness, then you also come into deathlessness. So, you'll be born twice. You'll be born twice. The Father baths twice. That's why he is two. He's living and he's also true. Can we say amen? He's a living and true God. So they have to teach you things that will make you sin not. Then they will later teach you things that will keep yourself in the love of God, so that the wicked one cannot touch you. You see, the touching of the wicked one is an introducer of death. So they will make you deathless, meaning you will be immune to death. So when the Son of God has fully appeared, you will be sinless and deathless. This is, I write to you, that you sin not. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All right, sin is not sin in every dominion. This is sin in an heavenly church. When you are crossing the sanctuary into the most holy, there are still sins. They are hidden. It is the light of the Son of God that is now defining sin, not just the light of Christ. That's why you know that at times when you are changing states, it's as if your sin are getting more exposed. A lot of people come to me, Pastor, I don't know what is happening. I say, you are living well. I said, because there are certain things you don't know exist until you come into another dominion. Higher light, x-ray sins more. And when they are x-raying sins, for you to what? It's for you to repent of them. Acknowledge, you know. You don't use oboju. You don't bone face. I said, this is not me. This is not me. It's not about that. I say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. Deliver me from this. You see, that is what the labor of John in chapter 1. Amen. If we say we have no sin. These are churches in the most holy. They are not churches in the sanctuary. These are churches in the most holy. So he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So you can have an understanding that has not become truth. When an understanding starts becoming truth in you, one of the things it does, it brings you into a high state of meekness where you acknowledge your imperfections. It's showing that you are being separated. Verse 5. This is the message to have heard of him and declare unto you. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. James said in him there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. That's the exact nature of composition of life in the Father and his Son. In him there's no darkness at all. God is light. I've thought this before. I said, God is light. God is life. God is love. So the perfection of God's light is in his love nature. You see, in scripture captures the highest summation of the nature of God is captured in his love. When they seal you with love, it means they have perfected you. It means you have been perfect in love. So love truly is the sealing. It's a seal of the activity of life in his soul. Love is congeal life. Love is perfection of life. So then they can't give you life without light. Light is the access to life. The entrance of your world giveth what? Light and understanding. So when you start having understanding, life starts coming gradually. Light will be given life. Then life increases in measures. Then when they congeal life, life sum up as you now have perfect love nature. Now, when you are growing in life, you are growing in faith and love, faith and love, faith and love. But the perfect life in what? Full love nature. Where you are perfect in love. So that's why they use in the epistle of John, it was love life. They used to qualify the life that you have. It's not language. The litmus test for how much life we have is our love work with our brethren. Nothing more, sir. A lot of people come and say, Pastor, I want to know where I am. I say, I don't know where you are. I say, but you know your level by how much you love the brethren. Go and love brethren. Go and love brethren. If you cannot love brethren, you can't have life. This is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light. All right? So now they want to bring the things of the Father and Son to us. They bring it first by bringing understanding of their life. They bring it by understanding of their life through light. So God is what? God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, So this is the Son of God appearing. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Now, there's something I used to call in apostolic metrics. Our apostle measure progress. So that we'll not deceive ourselves. Because everybody will say, I love God. For you to say someone, say, I hate God in the assembly of the saints, you don't say no. So John said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, sir, you are a liar. I put it to you, you are a liar. We lie. We lie. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk. So fellowship with him terminates darkness. Fellowship with him terminates darkness. You can't fellowship with him and still be walking in darkness. So meaning that my walk is affected by my understanding. Understanding affects my walk. It's important that we know this thing. So when I am fellowship with him, my walk begins to depart from darkness. I depart from darkness. I can't fellowship with him and still walk in darkness. So this darkness here is not darkness in the sanctuary. Because in the realm of the Most Holy, we still carry darkness into the Most Holy. In Zechariah chapter 3, there was an high priest. You know when you say somebody is an high priest, you know that he's already ministering in the dimension of the Most Holy. He had filthy garments, he did not know. But Satan knew and God knows. So secret things of dishonesty or hidden things of darkness that are beyond the light of the sanctuary, it will take fellowship with the light of the Father and the Son to x-ray them. That's why you have all kind of, you have UV light, you know. They say one is infrared. There's x-ray. At times, they'll say you go and do x-ray. But if they want to pick some things, x-ray, no, if you pick them. They will go and use MRI. It's a stronger light that can pick things. So when you are transiting from the sanctuary into the Most Holy place, or you are moving from earth into heaven, there will now start shining a new order of light to expire all darkness. Because the soul still has some darkness that are hidden. So you are not completely free until you become true. The Son of God appearing to bring complete deliverance to the soul. So you are not completely free. And that's why we need to journey soberly. We need to thank God for what he has done in us. So we should not be distracted. If you are not reigning in life, you are not free. Meaning you are not yet a witness of the life of the beginning. In this church, they were already fathered. They had known him from the beginning. Yet, the Son of God was here appearing to them. Because for those, even in the beginning, there is also a conclusion of a matter. So even the fathers, you know, you had fathers, you had young men, you had children. All of them needed to come into becoming true. If not, you will not be writing to them. So there were things that they needed to know concerning the administration of light that is in God. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I like doing truth. So I can have truth I have not done. And if I don't do it, my darkness remains. This is always a temptation for all of us. You know, I'm a pastor also. We know things that we have not done. At times we pile commandments up and just leave it somewhere. But you see, you don't measure yourself. You measure yourself by how much life you have, not by how much you know. Yeah. You see, one thing, we must be committed to doing commandment. We must be intentional about doing commandments. When you are getting a little bit older, you get a little bit more sensible. Ministry itself is a kind of dominion. So a lot of ministers are reigning in ministry dominion. But they are not known. They know you in heaven. They are not known yet because they don't have the walk of fathers. I had an experience and I saw the shoes of fathers in the spirit. I saw shoes that they give fathers. Fathers of everlasting covenant. I began to desire it. I've been praying this prayer since then. God, cause my feet to walk the way of fathers. God says it's an ancient way. He called it an highway. So if you say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're like, but if we walk in the light, this is the light of the Son of God. Now, this is not just the light of the Son of God. It is the true light. To John here, they were writing churches that already began to respond to God. These were churches that already had the old commandment. What is the old commandment? It's the commandment of the living God. There were churches that were already born to a degree. They had commandments that they were keeping. So meaning that they had a measure of the revelation of God that was already functioning in their midst. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which is from the beginning. So in the beginning, you have old and new. In the beginning, in the realm of all things of God. You know, when you look at this thing, it says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. So they had it already. They were already using the old commandment, using life commandments. You can't have life without commandment. When you're not walking the commandments, you can't have life. Your obedience to commandment is how you trap life. You trap life by commandments. When you obey commandment, you become a commander. Yes. In the realm of the spirit, you can command things because they are now yours. And I understand these things very well. You see, even with milk, there are things you can command that there are things that you cannot command. When you don't obey commandment, you can't have inheritance. And we need to be like that because there are certain things that when you speak, they won't answer to you. Because they only answer to commanders. When Jesus was even teaching faith towards God in Mark 11, he was talking to those that have come into the inheritance of milk. You can't say to this mountain, it move. Some mountain will not move. You just be shouting. For you to say to a mountain to move, it means you're a commander. It means you have the inheritance of faith of that dimension. You have done the commandment, you now have the life. So you can say. So when you are a doer of commandments, you carry command in the realm of the spirit. There are things that are yours. When they are yours, when you say them, they're only obeying their Lord. So you see how Jesus commanded winds. He wasn't doing miracle. For the apostles, disciples, it was strange. They were about capsizing and Jesus was sleeping. How can you sleep in that kind of state? It's because he had things in him. Jesus was at rest. So he had things in him that made him at rest. And when he woke up, he just spoke. He commanded. That's not just faith. Because I was shocked when I studied some of our fathers in the church that our fathers of the dimension of milk, they hold that inheritance. How are things working for them? I started noticing that it's not just because they said it. They have obeyed the commandment of that dominion. So they are reigning. They have a measure of reigning. So when they talk, things are happening. The Lord said, pay attention. Obey commandments. And then you must hear the word until the word brings commandments. All right? Because knowledge does not bring commandment. You hear knowledge for a while, precept, then you break into the word. Because the word is spirit. Yes, then you move beyond word into spirit of word. You move from word that is spirit into spirit also. It's just like having water and the blood. Because the word also has types in the realm of the spirit. The word raises, then the spirit is like breath that finishes the work. So there are seasons of receiving things. So you will do commandment until you have a word that is now life in you. So when you talk, things go with you. So they have the old commandments. So what are the old commandments? They are the commandments of everlasting life that give you the understanding of him that is living. There is a Son of God that is the living Son. There's a Son of God that is living Son. And when you are a servant of the living God, you have victory over the world. So you will overcome the world. But after overcoming the world, you now overcome the dragon. You have things in the world. You have the world. Then you also have the dragon. Inside the world are arrangement of his princes. When you say his world is just Satan's order. Satan has an order. Strata of his wickedness. Ephesians 6 calls it spiritual wickedness in what? High places. So Satan's word are places of different kind of twisted life. So, but he is now on top of it. So when you have overcome all those wickedness, you now meet the dragon, Gongo. And you know that the more you are getting close to him, the boys, they reduce. And they are more skillful. So the last ones you fight before him, there may not be more than 6. Or 5, but they'll be bad. So while you are fighting, just be watching you. Then you now come and meet him. By the time he's meeting, he has studied you. But you see, the thing about it, as you're also growing, you are getting more skillful. The kind of people that are going to wage war with the dragon, not ordinary. You will need true light to wage war with dragon. You just don't need light in the everlasting domain that is living. There's a kind of light. There's a kind of understanding. You must be able to keep yourself. You must be able to be kept. Meaning that you have power to be preserved. You are preservable. For some of these churches, you had people in different dominion of light, but they had to become true. To perfect the cycle of being begotten. You are not finished the cycle of being begotten, except you are true, meaning they cannot flaw you. So I now understand that Satan himself is a high prince of wisdom. For you to combat him, you must be flawless. The prince of this world comes and finds nothing in me. That's not ordinary. There's really nothing. And now Jesus didn't say that at the beginning of his ministry. The devil that Jesus fought in fasting was not the one he fought towards the end. Satan has versions. As Satan was operating, but Jesus was overcoming him until the last version. So the last version came. Jesus, what? Jesus overcame him. Jesus overcame that version, the last seasons of his life. When you study John 13 to 17, part of it was bearing Judas to the end. When you're thinking of devil, you're talking about devil inside the fold. The Lord was teaching about the warfare in the house of David. There are negative prophecies in this part. War not to enter into it. When you check David's house, there are different kinds of sons. There's Adonijah. There's Absalom. They are all sons inside David's house. And they are negative prophecy. There are spirits waiting for somebody to occupy it. You have to fight not to fulfill negative prophecy. You fight war in your heart. Because somebody must become Absalom. Somebody has to be Adonijah. There's always war. There are spirits. The Lord told me, says, we have more spirits in the environment of truth. Warring hearts. Satan has more concentration where truth is being taught. So Jesus had to war Satan in Judas. You think it was ordinary? You know, at a point when they were on the table, Jesus had to say, somebody will betray me here. Somebody said, somebody will betray me. Everybody was disturbed. And Judas was not moved. Then he told John. He didn't tell anybody. He told only John. John was not asking. All of them were wondering. Then he told John. So John knew. I'm just showing you the warfare that Jesus fought. Jesus fought warfare till the end. Fought Satan's version that is a dragon. You know, you have devil. You have Satan. So devil has many versions. Inside this thing, there's also accuser of the brethren. There is serpent, there is dragon. Dragon is flying serpent. So, with the light of the Son of God that is living, you can overcome the serpent. That's the incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed that liveth and abide forevermore. It's not the complete activity of batting. It just completes the activity of batting to make you overcome the world of the serpent. You can deal with the serpent. But to come to deal with the dragon, you will need more. It's called true light. And so this epistle is not an ordinary epistle. It's an epistle to perfect your batting for reigning. So, I, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old one, which is you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word. So, they had the word. They were churches of the word, which you have heard from the beginning. And that says, again, a new commandment. Is he not contradicting himself? Again. So, this is another light. This is another word. This is another understanding. So, he first reestablished the old. Because you have to build the new on the old. You lay commandments in slabs. You lay them in slabs. That's how you build. And let me tell you, brethren, see, you have to build that way. You can't come into anything, a new understanding, if you are not faithful with what they have told you. Now ask me, where am I in the spirit? You are at the last commandment they gave you. So if it's 2 years ago. That is where you are. Your stature is tied to the last commandment you obeyed. So, you don't do vacation in this order. Holiday is coming. Holiday is coming. So, you go and do holiday for 1 year. There are some things that they don't want to go easily. So, there's no chilling. Yeah. Commandment, they come to you to strengthen the former work. What commandments do is that they do a work in us. So you walk in commandments to become a work. So everlasting life of the living God is a work. Is a precise work that gives you a certain level of life in the spirit. So I write unto you a new commandment. Which thing is true in him? What he's saying in you is speaking that it shall be true in you. It's not like they have already perfected the true. Apostles at times write from the place of faith. He says, because the darkness is past and the what? The true light now shineth. So what is the understanding that the Son of God is bringing? All this understanding is to perfect being begotten. And we know that the Son of God is come. And he had given us understanding that we may know him that is true. So I can know the Son of God, but it's not the Son of God that is true. It is the Son of God that is true that will make me fully begotten. So these things I write unto you that joy may be full. So full joy is to be fully begotten. Meaning I'm not just sinless, I'm not deathless. Now, when you are sinless, that does not mean you can still not sin. Adam was a living soul. He was sinless. But he was not totally immune to sin. Because sin has gradients. There's sin also that climax in death. So even though he was a work, Adam was a work. But he had not had the understanding that was inside. I believe that Adam already was had some crowns. How do I know? The Bible called him a living soul. In Psalm 8, the Bible said he was crowned with glory and honor. So if you don't have works, you can't have a crown. So it means that the work of the living God was installed in Adam. He had the works already. He was already a witness in a level to everlasting life that made him sinless. Because he had crown. So, but what I felt was that the war that Adam had was in the journey to become true. When Jesus Christ appeared in Jordan, there was a testimony given concerning him. It was a son that was beloved. He said, a woman well pleased. So as at then, Jesus also had life that was, he was already living. Jesus then was beyond Christ. He was already living. He was already a son. That's why devil came to him. Like that devil was the one that came to Adam. Devil came to him. They don't announce another son, no. It's good to be excited. But you know, spirits, they are not moved by your song. At times you will see people, they're coming with spirits. So sometimes before you break through, you will be war and war. People will come with depressive spirits. You have to war. So at times, 2 hours, 30 minutes has gone. You don't know why. You're not just happy. You don't know why. You will quote word, quote scripture, it's not going. It's spirit. At times, you'll take sword from preaching to break them down. So, I'm talking about commandments. So, commandments is what brings into life. So, he said, again, a new commandment will I write you. Which thing is true in him and will be true in you? If you obey the commandment, it will be true also in you. So, what is true in the Son of God can be true in you. Now, what makes the Son of God a true witness? Is an exact composition of the Father's nature in him. The Son has all of the Father. He has all things of the Father, meaning the Father's life was a completed work in him. It was not halfly done, it was finished. So when Jesus said it is finished, it was truly finished. In chapter 17 of John, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. Past tense. I have finished the work. I have. That's not work of ministry. That's work of obedience. The cycle of light that is perfected in the exact nature of the Father in him. I have finished the work that you have given me. Ask me, what is work? Work is will. John 4 verse 34. So as at John chapter 4, Jesus has not finished the work. At John 17, he has finished the work. All in the space of 3.5 years. I said, we'll be finished the work. I started getting a little bit more particular about making progress. Making progress with God. One of the things I hate most is not making progress. I'm not talking about progress in life, you know? Not that thing you call progress in life. You must die to it. I'm not saying God will not be good to you. You will marry, you have children, you have a good house, you have a good car. Thank God for that. So, you must be totally free from anything corruptible. You must be totally free from it, man. Define yourself by clothes, by shoes. No, you should have moved past that. Some of you ladies, you are beautiful. Irrespective of what a brother tells you, you should know that. Say, Pastor Mobula. See. Meaning I have tribal mark. That is on your body. Sister, say, my soul is beautiful. My soul is beautiful. My life is not determined by what I have physically. For some of us, it's still a war. Maybe you want to marry a brother and you size the brother. It does not fit your class. So if you still have class, you're not yet Christ. If class is still your problem. You know, some women, sister, they smell suffering from afar. When the brother is coming, he says, what's wrong with you? What? Pastor, they say we should be focused. What's wrong with you? They say we should be praying. Are you praying? Are you studying the Bible? He's a liar. She's smelling what? Suffering. I don't want this brother around me. You know, when you see some guys, it's as if this one. Actually, that way. This one will shine. So, for all of us, we didn't look like we were going to shine. I'm only saying that you must journey beyond. Journey beyond, you know, what the world can give. Journey beyond class. Because in Christ, there's no male or female. There's no gender. That does not mean that you are not, there's no male man and female man. Just saying that that soul is a spiritual soul. There's no class in Christ. There's no age in Christ. There's no bondman, free man. It says Christ is all in all. You need to be that kind of soul to be finding God. So nothing should define us here. Amen. I tell people, I say, when you come into church, drop whatever you are in this world, drop it at the door. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to smell who you are. I don't even relate with people based on who you are. Money or nothing. I don't see it. I don't want to know anything about you. Except Christ. And him crucified. So when I'm in church, I'm free with you, sir. I'm not seeing anything around you. It's your soul I'm seeing. So, now, again, the new commandment I write in you is true in him and it shall be true. Because the darkness is past and the true light, what? Now shine it. So what's the purpose of the true light? To fully begat us as sons. Now, so that light has its own measurement. Now, look at what he now says. He says what? He that saith is in the light. Let me leave it high. And what hated his brother is in darkness. Even until now. So, when it comes to progression in the true light, what they use as a measurement of progress is how I love brethren. Because you cannot handle life except you pass from death to life. How do you pass from death? You love the brethren. What are those brethren? They are brethren keeping testimony. They are not only brethren there. These are brethren also that are joining with commandments to become true. You have to
Love them and pass. What does it mean to pass? You move beyond the ability of you being corruptible. You pass over the tendency of being corruptible. You move from the region where you can change. Pass over that to life because you love. It says, this is the only way that we can judge. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called. Everybody say called sons of God. So the word call is name. Kaleo. It means to name you. So I like the word behold, what manner of love. So love has mannerism. So this is the Father's love. And the Father's love is to declare begotten sons. Like Jesus found love to become the begotten of the Father. It was love. Now even though that love, the demonstration of that love includes chastisement. We see that in Hebrew church. They say, him that the Father loves, he will what? He will scourge. And he will scourge every son that he receives. So the Father's love is demonstrated in the scrutiny of the Father. In perfecting his life in you. It is a scrutinizing love. It's not a love that pampers. You see, the Father's love has different characteristics. That's why it's a manner. There's a way Father loves babies. When we got born again, the Father loved us in the Holy Ghost. You know, Holy Ghost love is sweet love. There's a way they pamper you in the Holy Ghost. Even gift of the Spirit is part of the pampering. When you give word of knowledge, you feel I. Or you give prophecy, you feel I. So, gifts of the Spirit, they just dash you. In your carnal state, they dash you. You know what I'm talking about? So the Father loves you in the Holy Ghost. And when the Father loves you in the Holy Ghost, they pamper you somehow. There's a manner of love there. They are not too strict on you. There are things that they permit. They permit carnality. They use you in your carnal state. It's still the Father's love, but it's a condescended love. It's a manner of love. That they love those that are just, you know, new birth in the dimension of milk. So the Father's love is ingredients. But the highest manner of the Father's love is the one that makes you fully begotten of him. Now, that characteristics of the Father is a tough love. I call it tough love. So normally, fathers are supposed to win their children from their mother, particularly sons and age. A father's love should take over. You have loved the child before, now you start loving. Love of the Father changes when the Father is picking you up from the sanctuary. Actually, the word adoption in the Greek is a compound word of two words. It's called euotesia. Euos there is maturing sons. Tesia is establishment. So really, adoption is a process, not an event. So adoption is first legal, meaning the legal papers for your adoption was done when you got born again. But that is not adoption in its exact sense. Adoption is actually a process of father perfecting sons and giving them his nature. When I say you have been fully adopted, it means that you have their life. You have his life. That was adoption. So the manner of love in 1 John chapter 3 is a perfecting of his adoption process to give you all that he gave Jesus. It's the same Father that gave Jesus all of himself that wants to give sons all of himself. So it's called adoption. It's establishment of sons. They don't establish you except they demonstrate what I call tough love. It's tough. Meaning the Father by nature has a strong sense of perfection. Now, the Son of God that we are talking about is actually the appearing of the Father. Because he has become all that the Father is. He's not the one that is now instructing sons on the ways of the Father. What manner of love does the Father bestowed upon us that we should be? You can see it's futuristic. You are not yet that kind of son. You are a kind of son. You are not all of what the Son of God has become. So all these churches were sons, but they are not full sons yet. The ingredients of sonship. Amen. That's what we saw in chapter 2. Little children, young men, fathers. They're all sons. And they are sons in heaven. All of them. They are not in the sanctuary. Even the little children have been taken away from the sanctuary. Then you have young men. Then you have fathers. And all of them are sons. And they want to bring all of them into full joy. Everybody say full joy. Full joy. Another word for full joy is to be true. So one man of love has the Father lavished upon us that we should be called sons of God. We should be called. So we see in Revelation 14 that a company of people perfected the love of God and the Father's name was written on their foreheads. So sealing you with the Father's name is sealing you with love. So that is a sealed work of love. That's what I'm saying. They don't seal you with love except you are perfected commandment of the Father. So Revelation 14 is perfected love of the Father. Sealed. Revelation 7 is the seal of the living God. It's not full perfection of love, of life of the Father. They are servants of the living God. Revelation 14, servants of the true God. Is also in John. So, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So they're kind of sons. So much of this church were sons of the old commandment. They were sons of the old commandment. Meaning they were being raised or better. When you say you're a son to something, sonship is you being reproduced after the exactness of a life. So they were sons of the living God. All of them as a church. You see, at times John will refer to all of them as little children. All of them as little children. Because really, it is the little children that they give the kingdom to. That's in Luke. Rejoice, little flock, for the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You only give kingdom to flock. And that's why I tell people, I say, you have to be a flock. If you want the Father's kingdom, if you are not a flock, you can't have dominion of the Father. And what is a flock? Flock, you must lock. And that is why the sign that you're a flock is love of the brethren. So when you see somebody not flocking well, he can't receive dominion. They check how the soul is locking. How you are locking with brethren. You can see the realm of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. You see them talking about you being built together. Together. So you are not just being built individually. You are being built how? So that person sitting next to you is not just church member. Don't refer to brethren as church member. So I don't refer to them as church member. They are brethren. So who is sitting near you is not another person. You see, the person sitting next to you can determine how far you go. How you handle them determines how you make progress in life. And for those of you that are married, your first brethren is your wife. Is your spouse. So all those churches, they were little flock. That's why they call them little children. Why are they little? Because if you're not little, you can't enter the kingdom of the Father. Christ will convert you to be little. You see, they will have to reduce you. Because it's sin that makes us have age. So they must reduce you by doctrine of Christ so that you can enter the Father's kingdom. Then when you now enter the Father's kingdom, you now grow in littleness. So when you look at it, young men, little children, young men, the fathers are more little. Yeah, yeah. Because who that we adopt to the throne is called man-child. They will not give back to you. Come a baby back. Then you now sit on the throne.
Stefania, Shishtefania, Amias, Sixthby, Eliotu, Kaniatu. Amiasu, what? Emilio, Kaniatu, me, Elimitu, Miatu, Kaniatu.
Yeah. potential. Oh, kingdom. To them belongeth the kingdom. To them is the kingdom. Oh, it takes the little. You should be little. Come down. Come and belong to the company of the little ones. Come to the company of the little ones. Even for we are little. We are also little somewhere. We are little somewhere there. And we enjoy the company of little ones. We want them little. We like them little. Leave them little for us. Oh. For such is the kingdom. Entrance. Come and be like the little ones. Oh. Qualification. Gate. Don't be shut out in high mindedness. Don't be shut out in your own mind.
Yes.
Come down for entrance, say the Spirit.
So progression in the Father's light is measured by progress in littleness or in meekness. So is the appearing of the Son of God in stratas of meekness. Meekness and lowliness. That's how you measure progress in the world of the Son of God. So, beloved, now we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. You see, at times, scripture in use born of God, begotten of God. You think it's the same thing? They are talking about born of God. They are talking about different seasons. Let me give you an example. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. So there is born of the word. There is also born of the law. Or the testimony. It's the law that generates both the covenant and the testimony. They are birth in season. So you will be born of the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth. That makes you a servant of the living God. Then you now be born of the testimony. Because inside the blood are bats. So the Son of God had appeared to this church as water. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But it says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So the first bat will help you to be sinless. When you receive the work of the Son of God that is living, the climax of that walk is that you will be like Adam. Meaning you will have complete dominion over the flesh. The flesh will be completely under you. You will be a walk against sin. Meaning you are sinless. However, you now have to move sinlessness into the domain of being deathless. Meaning that state will not change again. You know, Adam was sinless, but Adam eventually sinned. It means he had not finished the work that will make him stay in being perpetually sinless. That is what it means to be true. When you are true, you cannot degenerate. When they say you are a son of God, that's what it means. When you say somebody is a son of God, I like the theme of this conference. The same image and the glorious power of the begotten Son of the Father. This is a complete walk. So when Jesus began ministry on earth, he was sinless. He was already manifesting like Adam was. He was a living son in the dominion of his Father. But yet Jesus Christ knew that he had not perfected obedience that could declare him to be a true witness. Jesus knew that he had to finish the cycle of commandments to become true. So that's why Jesus would say, there is a work. John chapter 4. My food is to do the will of him that has what? Sent me and to finish his work. So he means Jesus had a work. But he has not finished the work. That man talking was a work.
It was a walk already, but he said there is a walk to finish. That walk is the walk that we commend him to be a true witness. It was a walk. It was obedience to a commandment of the Father that we make him not fail. So we can, incorruptible life comes into us in seasons. You can have incorruptible life that has not reached unfadingness. So he says, he that is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So the Lord told me, he says, keeping yourself is another dimension. Jude explains it. He says, build up yourself in your most holy faith. Most holy faith is not faith in the sanctuary, it's faith in the true tabernacle. So there's also faith in the true tabernacle. So when he says, this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith, he's not talking about faith in the sanctuary. There's faith of everlasting life that gives you victory over the world. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. That's the word. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Meaning you are doing the commandment of the incorruptible life, incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Lord said that this praying, you need, is beyond praying in tongues. It has to be beyond that. You see, when you are in this state, the only thing you are praying for is to perfect obedience for the inheritance of salvation. Praying in, this is praying in the kingdom. Praying with tongues is a level, but praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. This kind of prayer, you do it with your legs. Hebrews 5 from verse 7. Is a prayer that you do to get to finish the work. It's one prayer. It's not many things. It's a prayer that empowers your leg to finish work. Would in the days of his flesh, when he had what? Offer. Not just praying, it's offering prayer. It's priests that offer prayer. Not just even priests, high priests. So Jesus was in his high priestly building. You offer prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him to save him from death. So what was the focus of this prayer? Deathlessness is salvation. It's a prayer to receive salvation that will make him delivered from death. Meaning that Jesus could still be corruptible while he was on the earth. Jesus knew it. He knew it. This is not what he prayed alone in Gethsemane in the days of his flesh. So all that 3.5 years, there were years to perfect the commandment to become a true witness. That 3.5 years, they were to finish the work to declare him the Son of God. Meaning I can have everlasting life that has not declared me as being begotten of the Father because the work is not yet true. So unto him that is able to save him. So I call it salvation prayer. So save him from death. He was not praying to be saved from the death on the cross. He knew he would die on the cross. Everything he was doing is for him to die on the cross. In fact, he came to die on the cross. So Jesus was not afraid. That was not the death he was afraid of. That was the death that he was being prayed to be saved from. This death here is perishing. And that is what the wicked one has. The wicked one, when he touch you, you go perish. So wicked one, they touch soul. They just put small virus for that soul. The thing will begin to run. Small virus just begin to run. So Jesus knew that he had to keep himself. He had to keep the composition of the Father's nature to the end. Unchangeable. And was heard in that he what? He feared. Then I said, though he were a son. So though he was a living son. He was a beloved son. He was a work of the Father to a measure. He was already a son. Though he were a son, yet he what? So he decided obeying the new commandment. Jesus already obeyed the old. And now he wants to do the new. He has to finish commandment. So he learned obedience by the things he suffered. By the things he suffered. What is suffering? Obedience to commandment. Suffering is not necessarily not having money. Don't read suffering like that. You have money and you'll be suffering. When they give you commandments on how you spend that money, you'll be inside AC, you'll be sweating. They'll just flash you with a commandment. Maybe you are planning, you know, you have some money in your account, you're already planning vacation. And the commandment just gets, they just flash. That money is not your money. Go and wipe your account clean. You shall see some people sweating. Bro, what's wrong with you? I'm okay. He's sweating. He just received a commandment. Suffering is obeying the commandment. A commandment comes in all shades. So Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Jesus could not use power the way he wanted. You don't understand. You had power to heal any beggar. I understand at times healing anointing flows through me. Healing anointing flows with compassion. So Jesus had it, yet he went to a place. People were sick, everybody. He only went to heal one person. That is suffering. That's suffering. You have what it takes to heal everybody. There was a place, the Bible said, and he healed them all. It was because commandment came that could permit that kind of operation. But there were times that Jesus would only heal one person. He just healed. We saw it. He just healed one person. That's suffering. Suffering is obeying the Father's commandment at the time he tells you. So suffering is doing the Father's will. When you do his will, you are suffering. You are suffering the constitution of the whole life. Because they want to do a total breakdown. They want the former to pass. So it is through suffering that the former passes. They don't do a new thing. Except the former completely passes. So Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect. So to be made perfect is to be made a true witness. To be made true witness is to be perfected in love. That's how I'm going to end my message. Perfected in love. I had an experience many years ago where the Lord taught me about the perfect love in an encounter. I've never had it since then. It was a one-day experience. The Lord said, I just want you to, you know, there are things you can prophetically enter into so that you can just know how it is. But that does not mean it's your life. You enter it by commandment. So I entered the dimension of the love of God, the perfect love of God. I loved anything I saw, any person, with a love I could not explain. I will see, like I will know your past. When I say I know your past, I can know your past and your future. It was as if I understood you and I could bear with you and love you up. It was a one-day experience. It was so powerful that day there was no flag of some kind of thoughts. I could not think it for a second. I tried it. It was as if they did a work of a block in my soul. It held my heart. That the Lord told me, says, that is a dimension that you will enter into by commandment. He said, it's not what you encounter, it's a walk. That thing can be your reality. So heaven is not just where you visit. Heaven is where you live. It's an estate of life that they can walk in a soul. So a soul can be on earth, yet he is in heaven. Jesus was what? Heaven on earth. Just like you can also be hell on earth. You don't need to go to hell to be hellish. Hell is a walk, like heaven is a walk. So build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So that praying in the Holy Ghost is praying with your legs to obey the commandment. Finish commandment, eh? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Look at it. What's the next thing now says? Keeping yourself in the love of God. You don't have power to keep yourself in the love of God. It is your walk that keeps you. Look at 1 John chapter 5. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto
eternal life. This is how you cross into eternal life. You'll be kept in the love of God. You'll be kept. There are powers that keep you. That's not an ordinary power. That's a seal. To be kept is that you are sealed. You are sealed with the exact nature of the true God that gives you the name of the Father as a witness. So when they write the name of the Father on your soul, it means you're already witnessing that life. That is what will keep you. So keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy. So when you are kept in the Father's love, it is not mercy that will bring you into what? Eternal life. So even for those that are being kept in the love of God, they still need mercy for them to be upgraded to sit on the throne. They are now looking for mercy. Now, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So you start by learning how not to sin. You will come to a point that you don't know how to sin. Oh, you people don't believe what I'm saying. Already it's happening in the measure. There are some things that some of you don't know how to do anymore. You must acknowledge what God has done. There are things that you have journeyed far beyond it. But I'm telling you, a time will come where you will know not how to sin. Amen. Why? You have been born by an incorruptible seed. What's the incorruptible seed? The word of God that liveth and abideth. That's incorruptible seed. It's not yet true. It's just abiding. So when that seed is in you, you sin not. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Some people don't understand that. That's not new birth. That is born of incorruptible seed. Because the seed is in him. So they have done a work that makes you sinless. So whosoever committed sin transgressed the law, also the law. Now when you say committed, yeah, it's not just any sin. It's to transgress against a work that has been done in you. A transgressor is not in ignorance. So you can't transgress when you don't know the law. So this is the commandment of the Father. So Satan was a kind of a transgressor. Even Adam was called a transgressor. Adam was not ignorant. He already had the law. He had the law of living life. He had that law of incorruption. He had law of living life. So he knew what he was doing. So they called him a transgressor. To transgress is that they have given you a law already. It is yours. Whosoever committed sin transgressed against the law. So they say, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was what manifested to take away our sins. So who is that man? He's the Son of God. Now, the Son of God manifests in two seasons. First as water, then as blood. He's still the Son of God. He will first wash you and build you. You see, he's washing you, he's building you up. Because you only put blood when there's a vessel. Blood is life. Blood is breath. Blood is testimony. So they said the Son of God has come, but he first came as water. So these churches knew him. They knew the Son of God that come as water. Is that incorruptible seed that becomes water? Is bread water than blood? So whosoever abided in him, sinneth not. So he has come to take away our sins. Look at that. And in him there is no sin. Whosoever abided in him sinneth. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither known him. So you can see, the seeing him here is to understand him. When you understand the Son of God, that is water, you are sinless. You come to a point where in thought, in word and deed, you will be sinless. Even in your thoughts. In word. Indeed. Indeed towards men. Indeed towards brethren. They will teach you to a measure how not to sin. Some of you, a time will come where your thoughts will be sinless. Oh, you don't believe what I'm saying? You'll not be able to sin in thoughts. I'm not just even talking about words, but even in your thoughts. You know, your thoughts are kind of offering. You know, that's how they're going to get you. You'll go to a point where your thoughts can be displayed. Your thoughts can be displayed. They have washed you. That's what it means for the Son to appear as water. You are washed. You are washed. That's not just water of Christ. There's water of Christ that makes you new.
that makes you new, that makes you pure, then is the Spirit of Christ. Can now makes you what? A new man. But I'm talking about the water of the Son of God. This water goes a little bit more deeper into what I call hidden sins. Sins not made manifest. Sins that are intense. It goes after intents of the heart. Now begins to dislodge them and build a temple. You know, we have Zion, then we have city of the living God. So, upon Zion, they now build a city. City of the living God. So, you can't come into the living God except you are on Zion. It's from Zion that you enter living God. Then inside living God, there's now temple. That's the true. That's the temple of the true temple. That's the true God. So, you can see the way they arrange themselves. You move from Christ, living God, then you enter into what? Becoming true. So, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Even as he is righteous, he that committed sin, meaning he that transgressed the law of the living man. When you transgress that law, what they call you, he says, is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. So, the devil was the first transgressor against the laws that they gave cherubs. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might what? Come on, ever say destroy. The works of the devil. So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for the seed remained in him. Meaning you have done commandments, you are not just leave, you are abiding. You are remaining. He says he cannot sin because he's born of God. And now says, in this is the children of what? In the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So, you know a child. These are not your full sons. You know a child when they are abiding. So, you have abiding sons of God in incorruptible life. Then you have abiding sons of Satan in his own incorruptible life. Satan also has opposite of incorruptible seed. So you can abide. He's telling people to also abide in that. So John is teaching how this church can progress. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. So the message is light. The message is love. The old commandment, God is light. The new commandment, God is love. Now, that does not mean the new commandment does not have light. Every love has its light. Yes. But they say they now want to perfect understanding of the Son of God by you being perfected in love. That's how we know that you are passed over death. So, for this is a message I've heard from the beginning, that you should love what? One another. Everybody say, love one another.
Love one another.
It looks as if this thing is, Isheko, do you love law? You know, pass love. Not as Cain. Now, Cain shows up. Who was of what? That wicked one and slew his brother. So we understand the conversation. They were in a kind of everlasting abode. Cain comes up again. Because his own works were evil. So you can be in the presence of God with evil works. And his brother righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the word hates you. We know. Now, the only way we know that we are making progress in the commandment of the Son of God and that we are passed from death unto life. That word passed. Pass is like a Passover. You cross over. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth what? In death. So they are saying that with the level of light that is coming, you cannot afford to hate. Because if you abide in death, they are showing you that you are following the way of Cain. So whoever hated his brother is a murderer. So I now say, okay, so how they measure how you are making progress in the domain of the Father is how you love brethren. Whoever hated his brother is a murderer. He just give you judgment immediately. He's a murderer. Who you kill? So you know that no murderer had what? Eternal life. This eternal life is actually everlasting life. That life cannot abide in him. Whereby, perceive we. Everybody say, perceive we. They didn't say you love God, though. Now, this is the true God. Perceive we love God. So, I use love of the brethren for training to love God. So, if a man say, I love God, because it's easy to say, I love God. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother. Now, the word hate, I've taught this before, means loveless. That's one of the things it means. So, there's a like kind of hate that cannot exist in our midst. But there's a kind of hate that can exist. Hate can mean detest. That thing is loud in the realm of the spirit. And it's a darkness. You know, at times you can use, I just dislike him. There was a time I was trying to tell my son, he said dislike, so I said, no, you're not permitted to dislike people. He said, but daddy, I said, no, you can't dislike. I wanted to shift his mentality. He said, so I don't have my person. Even though I have my person somewhere, like, I know I cannot afford to have my person in the sense of my person. That I'm supposed to train myself to love all men. Yes, sir. High training. You know, there are some people, they are not lovable. They are shuku shuku. They have shuku shuku. Oh. If you try love them, they go shuku. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So if you want to love all men, it means that you'll be shuku shuku proof. You can take things. You can bear. I'm not there. There are some people that they are. It's not easy to love them to the end. You can love them small. Got here. Oh, bear. You know, but they will empower you. You know, ever say empowerment. There's a kind of empowerment that comes by understanding. You will know how to love to the end. Loving is a skill. You'll be skilled. You know how to love. So he that say, I love God and hated his brother is a liar. Meaning how we measure you love God is how you have loved brethren. You can't love God. God is a spirit. For you to come to the true God is the perfection of love. For you to get there, you have to pass through the brethren. You will pass through the brethren. That's why number one litmus test, you must be in a church. Sir, you can't love online. Relationships are for, at times you cannot predict when I will rebuke you. Book, you know, love is not just smile. There are times to rebuke. You know, if I was an online pastor, you say, love me, Abby. That's my daddy in the Lord. Online daddy. It's easy to love online. Love is on site. After I rebook you, will you still love me? Jesus called Peter Satan. No. Say, you don't understand? So you can, if you meditate on that, you can be like, Pastor, call me Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And Peter look at it. Now who be Satan? Sometimes you don't know a disciple except they have been tried. You must move from little sister. You know little sister, they're always angry. Always fighting. Always fighting. And everybody is the problem. They are never taking responsibility. Everybody is the problem. It's the brother this, it's pastor this, it's sister that. Sir, you're a little sister. We can't bank on you, sir. If we send you into marriage, you are a catastrophe. So let little sister grow. What you do for little sister, SOS, you build them up. They don't have wall. So you have to build. And then we also have little brother. Little brother, I want to marry little sister. The Bible says, he that finds a wife. So we must find you a wife before marriage. Exactly. You don't understand? Let me repeat that again. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. You are not a trouble. So it means that you are a wife before marriage. It's not hard to know wives in the church. You know, wives. They're already sisters that are wives. You will see them. They have been trained. They are laying down their life. Already sacrificing, serving. Serving. Serving the church. Serving brothers. Serving at home. And you say this one. Okay. What in Diao? You see some sisters, you know, they are ready. They are looking for men to help. That's what I said. So, if you are ready to help a man, then welcome to being married. You understand? The Bible says you are an helpmeet. Not you are not. You are not looking for help. You know the way some sisters are walking. Come help me, oh! Help me, oh! Sir, no. Say I'm looking for someone to help. You don't want to receive, you want to give. Yes, sir. I said, okay, now this one is not a little sister anymore. Yes, sir. She's a wife. Yes, sir. It's not hard to know wife. So they use brethren love to train you to love God. God does not trust your loving until you love brethren. So how can you love a God that you don't see? Brethren, when you see, never love them. Part of that see, fade away, you don't see finish. So hereby perceive we love God. Because he laid down what? Come on. For us. And we ought to lay down our lives for who? So brethren, we use you. You are, and then you two have to use brethren. So, Ogbonolo brethren, sharp coins. You know what I mean, sharp coins? You know those when you play temporon, you run, take coins. You run, take coins. You have to enter life. Because at times when you see some difficult people, say, wow, this is opportunity for life. Everybody say, many coins. You see those people that you don't like, you deliberately go and start walking in love towards them. You have to use them to pass over. So hereby we perceive we love God. So he that laid down his life, God laid down his life, but we also need to lay down our lives for the brethren. So they are saying that you use love of the brethren to enter into perfecting love. I'm just showing you the process of being begotten. We have to learn to love well. So God said he will still give us more judgment concerning love. Because love is the perfection of the commandment of God. In the realm of Christ, love is perfection of life. In the realm of the Father, love is perfection of life. So, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born. So it means that walking in love is walking in commandments that bats you. Is born of God and knoweth God. So this knowing here is not head knowing. It's like a man knows a woman. Let's say a man knows a woman. They give birth. Intercourse. That's knowing. Knowing is not academic. It is experiential. When you know somebody, you know the person. So, and person that is knowing God, they're now saying that he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, meaning you can't respond to love, then knoweth not God, for God is love. Remember, I started by God is light in chapter 1. Now we're in chapter 4. He said that light is perfected. So any light that I have and is not bringing me into greater love, dominion, and experience, there's a problem. It means I'm not walking in light. So I can have light, I'm not walking in. But light I walk in will settle as life. Life that progresses will mature as love. So the more life I acquire, the more love I am not just having love, I'm becoming love. For God is love. He didn't say God has love. God is love. So love is a summation of what? God's nature. So when you say Jesus is begotten of the Father, he's begotten of love. Everything about Jesus from head to toe is love. He says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son. They are showing you how he laid down his own life. I said, God will teach us how to love. I know this thing. The sense is coming. God denied himself by sending one of them. And when Jesus himself denied himself by accepting to go, you know, say, Holy Ghost, what do you do? You know, to send a God into flesh is high suffering. To send a God into body is high death. There's nothing more sacrificial than that. You take on the form of a man that you created. Can you beat that? Some of the Moravians gave themselves to slavery for the sake of the gospel. You don't understand. You know the way you free now. The day you free, you be big boy. You now change your identity. You won't become house girl for Togo. Yes. Or you house girl for Dubai. House boy for Dubai. Just for one thing. So that you can carry the gospel there. People did it in this earth. Moravians. They were selling themselves. They were one of the highest missionary sending communities. Some of them willingly gave up their liberty. Like you're a big boy, you, and you said because you want to preach the gospel, you go to another country as a servant. So that's what Jesus did. Number one, the Godhead agreed. The fact that they even agreed is death because they love themselves to pieces. Inside the Godhead, what you have is eternal charity. They love themselves to pieces. You know those kind of love they say you want to do? No, do them. I go do them. No, do them. I go do them. That's the kind of love they have. So for them to agree that the song will go, only God knows how long the meeting. Who will go for? If I say, I will go. Someone say, no. You better make I go. Only God say, what you know they do? I go for now. Yeah. I love. So it was even love for the two to agree that the word will go. Okay, you go for us. It's love. They love themselves. So, the word now decided to become man. Not because of anything. Because of us. He was already in his perfect state. Everything he did and became, he did for man. And you know the interesting thing? He will forever remain a man. Of course, he's now a man that is God. But he was not, he's no longer the word though. Is the Son of God. And he chose it. Meaning that forever I am under my Father. But well, we used to share estates before. But because of the purpose of bringing man into the fellowship of Godhead, I now chose to become number two. Forever. When you are serving a pastor, say, we take go become your own. You know that kind of sense. You see, they are going to deal with us that we lose sense of ourselves. Part of being perfect and part of being sinless is that you don't think of yourself. Selflessness is one of the hallmarks of the Father's work in the soul. You don't think of yourself at all. Many of you start to now training yourself not to think of yourself first. You think of others, then you are the last. It's part of training. That's the training for fathers, for men, brothers that will become fathers. So start training yourself now before you marry. And now you be last. You are the last. So I've thought of brethren, thought of my wife, and now the last. If you remain, fine. You know, some men, when they collect salary, it's CAU joints. Because if I reach home, they go collect this thing from me. You first go, unko beer, they say, unko beer. You know, they go, take beer. Now me do the work. So after I finish, I'll now go. I share the remaining. Part of training is that you learn as a man. Because as a man, you will serve all your life. That's how you know brothers that are ready for marriage. They can serve. Keep serving. Keep serving. Keep serving. So Jesus laid down his life to become a man. The Father laid down
the love of the Son, the word that he had, to serve man.
So they're now saying that to come into their life, na love. Will we train ourselves that way? Will we learn to train ourselves that way? You see the way they're denying themselves for themselves. That is training to love them. Brethren is how you pass over death. You see, in love, there is no fear. There is no corruption. Perfect love. Cast away all fear. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might what? Live through him. All right? Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. God dwelleth in us. So it means that our loving each other is a building of God's habitation. God dwelling in us. And his love is what? Perfect. So I can have love that is not perfected. So there is love at the measure of the living God. But that love cannot make God dwell. It is not yet a resting place. It is a kind of building, but God cannot rest there. Love must be perfect for God to dwell. So if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Do you know that it's churches that we're calling to the throne? Yes, churches. Yes, sir, you must love local church. This is how you pass into it, eternal life. Churches. There are space for churches. Thrones for churches. That the Son of God has reserved for you. In Jonah, in Final Quest, he was crying. There were thrones. Nobody was sitting on it. Vacant thrones. The Lord Jesus was crying. He said, these thrones are empty. So there are thrones. This church has thrones. There's a throne for this church. And inside that throne are thrones reserved for every one of you. So there is a program of love that must be perfected in you that makes God dwell in us. So God will not just dwell in you individually. He will dwell where? In us. God is teaching me that thing. I'm learning to discern the work of God in my brethren. So I handle brethren with more caution. Because God has a plan to join us together forever. So some of these churches, they were struggling with love commandment. If you see chapter 2, some of them were struggling with love commandment. They still had 8. John said, you are lying. That lie is not just you are lying with, you are prophesying another life that has its trace in Satan. Satan is a father of lies. Yes, sir. So anything that is lie is connected to him. He's a betrayer of the life that is in the Son. So anytime we don't walk in love, we betray the Son. We are betraying his life. Everything about his life is sacrificing. We betray the Son. When I choose to live for myself, at times God will be giving me commandments concerning my wife. And I know that those commandments are commandments to make me live more. When she loves me, I love her back. We go love ourselves tired. Because I am supposed to love my wife until I reign. At times the Lord will come and say, this is how you need to love her. Commandments of love come in part time. You know, I'm training sons too. And when you are training sons at times, you see some of them, you love them with their infirmities. You keep loving them. You will close your eyes to their infirmities. Believe the best of them. It's part of love. Because I'm wondering how did Jesus handle Peter? How did he handle Judas? You will learn love from every side. Every side of love. They will not be able to floor you anywhere. You are tight. So the true God is a God that demands perfect love. For you to be his witness, you must be perfected in love. That's on all grounds of love, you can't be flawed. And that is the house. That nature is what immunes you against death. So, what is the fruit of death? Hatred. You got it. Hate. Hate. That's death. Death. There's nothing I fear more than having a pinch of hatred in my heart. You know, there are some hate that has not been revealed by light. There are ones that is identifiable. There are ones that you need mercy.
When they open light and shine light on your heart, you just have to hone up because you never knew it was there. So you now need commandment. You need the Son of God to be appearing. So when they say the Son of God has appeared, Jesus appeared not as water only. If he appears as water only, we will not be true witnesses. We'll be sons of God, but we will not be full sons of God that are begotten of him. We'll be begotten of incorruptible life, but we'll not have full incorruptible life. We'll not be able to. The only way is to be perfect in love. To chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have, may have boldness in the day of judgment. Everybody say day of judgment. Judgment are thrones. They are thrones. You know, they are thrones of judgment. They are thrones in everlasting life. When you say judgment, judgment is a measure of reigning. When you say you have judgment, you have a throne. When you say you have boldness in the day of judgment, it means that you are reigning. So if your love is not perfect, you cannot be bold in the day of judgment. Another word for day of judgment is the day of his power. You will not have boldness in that day. You will not be an authority. You will not be able to reign. So the way you reign, he says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are. This is not by confession, it's by work. It's by work. So we are. He says, there is no fear in love. We don't know this kind of love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, what? Casted out fear. Fear here is corruption. Bondage of fear. Hebrews 2. There is no fear. So when you are operating this kind of love, you are immune to every force of corruption. For as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that are power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives and subject to bondage. So it means you are free from this bondage when you are perfect in love. So perfection in love is to cast away every form of corruption that can corrupt man. So we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. So it's not just seeing you physically. It's that you have seen that brother. Your love should not change when the infirmity of your brother arises. How can he love God whom he has not seen? He said, answer the question. So you can't love God you have not seen except you. So you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. Then life is perfected in love. 1 John chapter 5, from verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God, overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So this belief here is not just believing, it's to know. When you are knowing the Son of God, you are a walk that overcomes the world. And the Son of God is both living and true. So you overcome the world when you know the Son of God that is living. But when you now perfect the knowing of the Son of God in his appearing as blood, you will now be kept from the wicked one. You know, the man-child was kept inside the womb. So that womb is a womb of love. It's a womb of being perfect in love. So when the man-child came out, Satan could not do anything. He was helpless. That man-child is already immune. It was because he came out of love. He was born from love. He that is born of love is born of God. For God is love. So Satan cannot corrupt love. That's his soul. That's that man child. So the Bible says it was immediately was caught up to God and his throne. He entered into another dimension of reigning. He was already reigning in the measure in the womb. But he entered into another dimension. He caught up, entered into the throne of the eternal God, was caught up to another throne. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is it that came by water. So he's describing the appearing of the Son of God that overcomes the world. This is it that came by water and blood. Even Jesus
Christ, not by water only. So by water you overcome the world. But by blood you overcome the wicked one. The wicked one will not be able to touch you. So there's a wicked one that is world. Because the whole world lieth in wickedness. But there's also a wicked one that is a dragon. Satan has age inside him. His age is his world. But you will overcome his world and then you overcome him. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, for that Spirit is truth. Verse 18. So we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So to keep yourself is to become immune to the forces of perishing. It means you have been fully begotten. You can be a son, but you are not a son that keepeth himself. You can't be kept. You are not kept. He says, that wicked one toucheth him not. You know, Satan wanted to devour the man child. He was waiting to devour it. Devour there is to touch it. To touch something, that's how you devour something. He wanted to touch. Touch. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. I mean, it has been trying to devour it. One womb. So he's trying to wait. That he paraventure. So, but immediately the child was born, meaning it completed the new commandment, which is the true light. The appearing of the true light is to make you perfected in love. And the power of that light is that it expires every shade of hate. Every shade of hate in the soul that is darkness will be completely taken away until you are perfected in love. So each stride you take in love is what immunes you until you perfect the cycle of love. So immediately the child was born, the child was caught up. So he now said, he says, he that begotten of God keepeth himself. So it is the true light, being perfected in true love, that begats us. That's how you are begotten. That the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. In answers, we know that the Son of God is come. The Son of God has really come. We're in that era. And he will keep coming. I said he will keep coming. He says he has what? Giving us an understanding. That we may know him that is true. Meaning that we have understand him that is water. We know how to live. But now we need to know how to be true. Now, to be true is to be kept from the wicked one. And how we're going to be kept from the wicked one is that as a company, we have to learn to love each other. We will operate high commandments of love. And that we will now be tight as a company. It's not just tight as an individual. You will be tight as a church. That the enemy will not be able to break inside. Tight. They say you are tight. They are tight. Love. Perfected in love is that there is no loose hand. That we may know him that is true. So true light is to know him that is true. To know him that is true, you end up being a true witness. You are true by perfecting love. To know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. This is the true God. Comma. And eternal life. So eternal life is true God, then eternal life. This is the realm of the Godhead. When you become true, then you become only true. They move you into the reward or the promise of becoming true. So those that are true witnesses, they reward them with eternal life. This is the promise that they have promised us, even eternal life. Let me tell you something. You have a authority in love. There are people waiting for you. They are waiting for us to come into a dominion of love. When we love, we'll start breaking hearts. I perceive in my spirit there's an harvest. But the harvest will be brought in by love. Unusual kind of people. people that are the downtrodden of society. People have canceled. I'm talking about drug addicts. I'm talking about misfits of society. People that have, some of them are doing well in the natural, but they have problem. Sin is their problem. Sin is their problem. But there is authority in this house to pick people from the marigle and set them among princes. So the Lord said, prosper in love. Come into all the lines of love. No love in and outside. Before they fully begot us as sons, they want to train us as an house in love. Just keep loving. Be an house of love. Be an house of love. I don't know, but the Lord is saying, let's close the gap. No distance. We need to love each other. We need to love each other. No bitterness. No strife. No hatred. Don't allow it. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your pastor. Love each other. Fight the devil.
Measure up. Fill the cup. Fill it full. Fulfill ye. Fill it up. I've measured out. I've measured out another demand. I've measured it out again. I've shown you the demand. I've shown you the measure. I've shown you the height. I've shown you the breadth. I've shown you the length. I've shown you the depth. I've shown you again. It's a measure. Come up. See that it is full. See that you do it well. See that you do it to the end. Love to the end. Oh, for then would you fulfill even all. Do it well. Revisit them. Commandments upon commandments. Revisit. Look again. Look intently. And you will see that the measure has been heightened. The bar has been taken up. And you need to feel it. Feel it. Measure up. I'm come to measure. I'm come to check. I'm come. It's a season of works. I'm checking works. For another entrance. So fill it up, said the Lord Jesus.
Can we say amen? Yeah. Can we receive that? Let's just receive that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just receive that.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.